Tammy, you want to come and talk about this? Is this to replace? Is this to replace Chief Crutcher?
Yes.
Okay.
Chief Crutcher is retiring from this job and moving to another state, and so he suggested that Assistant Chief Dobbins apply, and that's your application in front of you.
Is this the board that is that requires the two, or requires individuals from each agency, or is this the board that?
There isn't a board established yet because we didn't have a sales tax, so there's not a state statute.
This is the board that was put into that because of the statute.
Okay. Yes.
Is that the only application?
That is. That I'm aware of.
Has Mr. Crutcher even resigned officially from the 911 board?
Yes. His the last meeting was last week.
Okay.
And then his last day at the job is May 2nd or 3rd.
Let me get this in my head. You said that because the tax didn't pass, then there is no official board?
There's no board that's mandated by a state statute unless we were to pass a sales tax. The board that we have in place is an advisory board only, and they advise and recommend to you all. So it's whoever you put into those places. But what we've done is tried to move forward to fill that board that would be in existence should we go to a sales tax eventually.
In preparation for a sales tax venture in?
Correct.
That way the board would already be in compliance and not have to.
So we wouldn't have to form one, and they'd have to go through all the work to do so.
Correct.
Well, I'm a little bit confused about what you said there, because I know what you're talking about. Whenever they changed some rules that said that we needed someone from each, I call him, entity to represent, to be on that board. I guess this follows along those guidelines, or has that rule been done away with? Is that my question?
There would be seven members on that board if the sales tax would be established. And currently we have the exact makeup of what would be that board. It would be five people from different emergency agencies and entities like that, and then two people from the public, which we have at this time.
That's just mandated by statute.
Would be if we had the sales tax.
Yeah, we don't have to now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I just didn't know that Crutcher had already resigned from the board.
He did this last meeting.
Okay. I'm just wondering, to stay in compliance with the statute, we don't have to. Mm-hmm. But if we were to, does it have to be somebody from Branson Police, or can it be any?
Law enforcement.
Any law enforcement. Mm-hmm.
And currently we have some law enforcement on it already, right? We
have
the sheriff.
One sheriff.
Is that the only law enforcement we have on there? It's the sheriff?
Yes. We've always had one from sheriff and one from Branson PD, simply because they're our primary answering points for 911.
That's where the PSAVs are?
I'm fine with it. Yeah, it's just filling a position in case they want to pursue the tax.
Well, and also just advisory for the PSAPs, just the different things that we deal with.
Correct. So.
Stanley Dobbins?
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
Stanley Dobbins.
Move to appoint Stanley Dobbins to the 911 board. That would be to finish out Chief Crutcher's term.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Do you need me for the CenturyLink agreement?
I don't know. Do we need you for the CenturyLink agreement?
Okay.
Okay.
And we have Century Link agreement next.
Public comment.
I have a letter dated, Mr. Cotty in here, that he's reviewed the proposed 28-page Century Link agreement, and he does not approve it as to form, so.
Does it state that he has contacted them for any adjustments?
Yeah, he's recommended a proposed new agreement, and he's got it, it's attached as exhibit to a short contract, which incorporates the terms of the new agreement and adds that nothing contained therein will extend the term of the agreement beyond December 2nd, 2016. And he's drafted a short contract for that purpose, and it's attached.
Yeah, I saw it.
Did you guys go over it together? I know that we kind of directed you guys to work together on this.
We tried.
So you knew the jargon, and he knew the legal jargon. And
yeah. I'm not sure how far we really got at that. CenturyLink seems to have a real struggle with integrating whatever Mr. Cotty wants in the agreement. CenturyLink has a, this is their agreement.
Yeah. I'm going to make a motion that we not approve the CenturyLink agreement and let our attorney and Mr. Cotty meet with them, with you, and try to work something out. I'm not in favor of approving any 28-page agreement.
Isn't there an agreement that Cotty wrote?
There is. He's attached a...
It's like a one-page. But I think he wants it amended to their big agreement.
There's amendments in it for the big agreement,
yeah,
what I understood.
Right. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I've already gone to CenturyLink four times trying to get our notes integrated into their agreement so we can all kind of be in agreement. And that Nikki and I have even sent them, we need these paragraphs in there, send it off, wait a month or so. Another agreement comes, but it never has our comments in it. It just seems like they're disregarding whatever we want to put in there.
Could that be because of the change of leadership in the upper rank and file?
Everything, when we first originally tried, you know, getting these services through CenturyLink in 2013, at the end of 2013, we did have a local sales rep. Since then, now we are forced to deal with somebody through a 1-800 number that's out of state.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen a physical person come talk to us about this at all and try to help us get this straight and just hear us out and then go talk to their people and try to push this agreement to have the items that we need. So, I mean, it's really kind of come to a complete standstill. I know the issue is that for the services we want to receive, you know, CenturyLink wants a 3-year term from us. They want us to pay for 3 years, which is fine. The bad thing is it's almost taken them, it's already taken them 2.5 years to even get the agreement right. And I know Mr. Cotty wants us, he says that the term ends in December of 2016. Well, that only leaves us, what, 6 months? So they're never going to get the 3 months of revenue that they need to kind of even get the services installed for. So I already see a problem going that way if we go with Mr. Cotty's route here on just amending it to get us up to December 2016. I really highly doubt CenturyLink's going to want to. You know, they're not even going to be interested in that. They want 3 years worth of service. They want to deliver 3 years worth of service. They want us to pay for 3 years worth of service.
Right. And they have someone for each part. I visited with the young man that does our phone services.
Darren. Yeah.
And he realizes that there's a problem, and he actually kind of wants to intercede with trying to help get this thing put together. I think if we refuse it now and let you go back and see if who we can, maybe if we could get him, I don't know how much pull he has or what he is.
He's just a
Just
technician.
A serviceman.
Yeah.
But he realizes that there's a problem and maybe he could say something. We can't approve this. I mean, I'm not going to approve the 28 agreement.
The other agreement. One thing I would like to get your guys' feedback on is, since it was put out to bid 3 years ago, do we have a problem? You know, are we at a point now where this just so much time has expired and that we have to just put it back out for bid? And I mean, if CenturyLink wants to rebid on it again, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just as open to working with them. I just want the services that we need. But I don't know where we are on how much time can expire before an agreement was written and then nothing was ever delivered yet. I mean, is there some kind of...
Was there anything in the bid? That'd be a Frank question or
okay.
a Mr. Erickson question.
Okay. But I think that was actually one of I remember seeing something in here of... Therefore, the original agreement will expire on 2016. The new agreement properly attempts to create an extended term which violates the requirements of the bidding statute. So, I don't know where to go from here, really.
We don't have an agreement.
True.
It's presented to us, Brennan, and it's on the agenda. I think we refuse to approve this agreement. And that way they have to work on something else. If we don't take any action whatsoever, it's on the agenda. So I made the motion to not approve it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Find out if we can go on with a new, if we want to go out for bid, if they need to do a new agreement.
Okay.
Find out from Erickson and Cotty what we need to do.
I'll get both of them.
Is there, Danny? I wonder if Raznick or anybody like that can.
They can help. I know enough people that.
That's what I mean.
That somebody can. They may not, but they can contact.
They can contact
the right
somebody
people.
That can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you met with any of them or?
Not really. I'm telling you, the people I've been have been so. I don't really have that many contacts with the local management people very well.
Okay,
I mean, I know
so
a lot of the techs that come and do the work, but I don't really have the. And then this whole group that this agreement is with isn't with the CenturyLink local, you know, type group. It's once they changed it, the product to something else, all of a sudden I started dealing with people out of state.
Are they aware? Are you the one that makes them aware that there's a problem? Because of what I'm saying,
yeah.
The local service people.
Right. Well,
okay.
I mean,
because they...
There isn't a local person I know that I haven't talked to about
okay.
this and said, you know, we've been trying to get these services turned up for over 2 years. I'm just trying to get this marked off our list and get the internet going faster and working better here at the county, but nothing's ever progressed from there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a hard one. CenturyLink's definitely been reorganizing here in the last
yeah.
year, for sure. So, I have one other manager I know, like Chris Allmiller.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say Allmiller. You got,
yeah, he's probably my best bet. But so once again, as far as I understand, he's over like the local tax. He's over the central office, but you know, these types of things are kind of a whole other. There's the group of people that do things, and then there's the group of people that make agreements. You know what I mean? And so far, this agreement isn't even on those guys' radar yet because it hasn't even gotten to that their point where the contract people turn it over to them to get the services turned on.
What is Farmer? Isn't he?
I don't know.
Between Farmer and Raznick, they should be able to get you in
contact
with somebody.
Information if you need
for Scott Farmer or something.
So between those two, you should be able to get with somebody that can
okay.
be a decision maker and get something happening.
We'll see. I'll be glad to rattle any change you guys want me to do.
They've both been there a long time. They'll know who to contact. Scott Farmer and Steve Ratz.
Steve Ratz.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
University of Missouri Extension Update.
Morning.
Morning.
Okay, update as to what we've been doing and what's coming up. My report is actually on top for family financial education. And I guess the main thing that I've been working on, obviously, for the last 3 months is the volunteer income tax assistance program that we run. As of the end of March, we had between our three sites in Taney County 1,578 accepted returns, if we count both federal and state returns. And actually, usually we do maybe just a few more state than federal because some people have more than one state that we do. We also educate taxpayers on their tax return, so why they owe or why they're getting money back, and give them some information, just general financial information, creating a spending plan, how to watch out for predatory lending, how to get their free credit report. This year, we also incorporated information on Missouri Saves Month and encouraged people to pledge on the Missouri Saves website to save money monthly. So hopefully when some of ours that are getting large earned income credits will save some of that as opposed to spending all of it. Under County Program Director announcements, quite a few things have happened and are coming up. The Master Gardeners of the Ozarks, Springtime in the Garden this last Saturday, had 60 to 70 people attend. So that was a very successful event. They also had a plant sale in conjunction with that. April 13th through 24th, actually we've got April 13th through 24th, I'm on the wrong thing. Tractor Supply, Paper Clover fundraiser, so that's for our 4-H Clover kids. And then Grow Your Farm Session 1, and Grow Your Farm Session 2 is listed as the last item. So this is a program that we have starting April 18th. We've got, I believe, 9 people signed up for that so far. And then Master Gardeners of the Ozarks are beginning their brown bag lunch series. So on April 19th, they have new plants to try this season. These are at noon at our extension office here. On April 21st, at the extension office, 4-H, Willa will do a robotics club meeting. And then if you go ahead and switch over to the next page, Barb Beck, our Family Nutrition Education Associate. And really the programs presented, she had 5 locations in March where she had poster displays and handouts. She taught lessons at 5 schools. A lot of that is ongoing, so it lists then underneath that the upcoming events. Barb does a great job. She's busy, busy all the time. And next report is Willa's for 4-H. So she still has the Science Saturdays going. She did one April 2nd, has one planned for May 7th. And also she and also Jim Worth, who's our human development specialist, will both be involved at the Mi Casa e Su Casa event on April 20th, which is basically for a Hispanic audience, although anybody is welcome to attend that. This will be their second annual event, and I think last year they had over 200 attendees, maybe over 300. It was a really large event. So. And University of Missouri Extension plays a big part in planning that. One of our state specialists is involved in that. Every Thursday in May from 1 to 3, Willow will have 4-H in the garden at our office. And May 21st, Bio Blitz and Kids to Parks Day at the Dewey Short Visitor Center. And then June 4th, the Taney County 4-H Livestock Show and Achievement Day will happen. So you can also see her other 4-H events. Willa maintains a 4-H Facebook page, a blog, a web page. So lots of things going on in 4-H. Next report is our human development specialist, Jim Worth. And Jim presented 21 programs for 368 attendees in Berry, Christian, Jasper, and Taney counties. Participants including child care providers, seniors, community leaders, Latinos, teachers, parents. And the ones that were presented in Taney County, empathy and compassion, English for non-English speakers or English language learners, gratitude and hope, life journeys, mind-body connection and health, optimism and relaxation techniques. And then our final report from Colin Hill, who is our agronomy intern. Colin's worked really hard to get the Taney County Cattlemen's Association working again, and so their next meeting is May 4th. And he's also involved in the Spring Forage Conference Planning Committee. He is leaving us at the end of April, so as far as we know, we're pretty confident that we will get a new intern, but I don't have a starting date yet. I don't have an absolute definite yet, but our regional director is working on getting a new intern to replace Colin. So, any questions or comments?
That's my question is, if we, Taney County, had stayed with, is the university going to respect the fact that we were recipients of people who other counties wouldn't provide the monies for, and they moved here? Now, are we going to start having those, having those jerked out from under our feet to say so?
I don't believe so, Danny.
This is one case where I might see that start happening, because I hear other commissioners, when we go to our commissioner training and everything, talking about the fact that they couldn't provide enough money for the extension offices, so they're required, I think it's $10,000 in their budget or something, some minor number, and Taney County has always stepped up and provided. And as because of that, we receive those professional people that leave those other counties and come here, and we are the beneficiaries of it. Mm-hmm. Now that they are receiving a little more financial aid, other counties, I hope that we don't lose people like Colin and other professional people just because we've been good. Solid individuals to support the Extension Council. Mm-hmm. So I hope that doesn't happen.
I don't believe it will. Of course, the one issue that we do have, and University of Missouri Extension is in a hiring freeze right now because of all the budget cuts that appear to be coming. But this intern really is mainly paid by Missouri State, by MSU. And so I think that with this, we will not have a problem. They've got a person lined up. Jay just needs to get the paperwork signed. Our county council also has written a letter, which has been mailed to Jay, stating that they really want Colin replaced. They really want an intern to come back in, so because he's done a great job. And Colin does know the person that hopefully will be replacing him, and he's very complimentary of him. So I don't foresee a problem, but I don't have a start date yet. But I will pass on your concerns to our regional director.
All right.
Thank you.
When do you announce the farm family, Taney County's farm family? When does that take place?
We do that during the fair.
Okay.
We do that presentation.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Thank you.
agreement for waste handling wheel loader. I have a contract and a letter from Mr. Cotty, and he's reviewed the proposed agreement for the number one waste handling wheel loader and approve it. He does approve it as the form. This agreement's with Murphy Tractor Equipment Company, and it's for the purchase of one John Deere 644K waste handling wheel loader, as described in the bid documents attached. Price is not to exceed $267,050.
Correct.
Move to approve the agreement for waste handling wheel loader by and between Taney County and Murphy Tractor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Agreement for mower tractors with flail and rotary. I have a letter dated April 6th from Mr. Cotty, and he has reviewed the proposed agreement for the mower tractors with flail and rotary to and approve it as to form. The agreement is with Larson Farm and Lawn Incorporated, and it provides for the purchase of two mower tractors with flail and rotary. The purchase price is $105,220.47 each, with the total price not to exceed $210,440.94. The agreement commences upon its execution and runs till all warranties expire.
Move to approve the agreement for mower tractors with flail and rotary by and between Taney County and Larson Farm and Lawn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Field dirt agreement, Harry Davis.
Where's that at?
Not sure. Should have an address on there. I think Devin Shop brought that in.
Well, looks like. Yeah, I can't read that. Hey, Randy, and these field dirt agreements, where there's, and just for, it's just a memory refresher. If it exceeds three loads, they have to get an agreement. If it doesn't exceed three loads, then they can dump there if they're on location, right?
No, they still do an agreement. I approve anything three loads and less. Anything more than three loads or unlimited comes before you guys.
That's.
But we still make them do an agreement, whether it's one load or,
okay,
or whatever.
Where's it located, Brandon? Can you tell? The reason we ask where is because sometimes we'll have locations that want field dirt, and they'll be so close together that, we have to.
Now what we'll do is map these, and also the supervisors know, so if they have any work in that area and it's available, we'll contact the people. Now some of these people get as much as they want and they don't want any more, we'll take them off the list then. So
where's Benjamin Dry?
What's what I was asking?
I also ask supervisors to go look at these when we get them to make sure they're doable and make sure we can actually use them.
So. Why don't you do this? Why don't you take this one and you fill your three
three loads out, and then that way you can give us more information if we need more. Would you rather do it that way? Because we don't have any idea where this is at.
There's no city
or nothing on there.
Right.
Why don't we do that, and you go ahead and you can, if you can approve three loads, and you can look to see where it's at, and then bring it back to us if they need more than that.
All right.
Sheriff, do you know where Benjamin Drive is?
Benjamin Drive?
Yeah.
Maybe in the city limits or something. No.
Okay.
That'll take care of that anyway.
Grant of permanent and perpetual easement and right-of-way for public road purposes and temporary construction easement for construction of public road improvements. Mungent's Investment LLC.
Where's that at?
This is the right-of-way needed for the Sycamore Log Church Bridge. That's the first one here. That's for the permanent and temporary construction easement where the bridge is going to be located.
Is the second one the same area?
Do what?
Is the second one the same area?
Second one, same area. That's a, the second one's a temporary construction easement with the guy across the road. And then there's one more we'll need to acquire, possibly with the conservation. And the engineering's working on that.
Those temporaries don't cost us anything. What the permanent ones, they donated them also.
The permanent one, they also donated the right away, and I've got a under a road and bridge update. I want to bring some more information as in this area. I've got another structure to talk to you about.
I'm fine with it myself.
But yes, they donated. Didn't cost us anything.
Move to approve the grant of permanent and perpetual easement right away for public road purposes and temporary construction easement for construction of public road improvements by and between Taney County and, is it Mungenest Investment?
I call them.
Spelled M-U-N-G-E-N-A-S-T.
Pretty close.
Signed by Mr. Johnson.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Move to approve the grant of permanent perpetual easement right-of-way for public road purposes and temporary construction easement for construction of public road improvements by and between Taney County and Brian Spence.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I know where Brian lives there. I didn't realize that we needed to...
It's where the road ties back in. The new bridge is going to angle upstream of the old structure and where it ties in. It's just, we don't need any right away from him. It's just a temporary construction easement. So we're not actually taking any of this.
And we fixed up back and
yeah, we'll be
proper order
we'll be coming
and everything
right back
that.
Into
that's,
the road
that's
there.
Good.
So.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Sole source recommendations, jail showering system.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
We're here this morning to offer up a notice of intent to declare single feasible sole source. This is number SSP 201603-337. This is a response to request made by the sheriff who's here this morning to assist me regarding a shower system for our jail for de-licing and de-staffing. The Taney County Purchasing Department released this notice of intent on or about March 26, 2016 via both available newspapers within the county as well as posting it on the Taney County website. that included a detailed document which establishes Romaine Companies as a sole source provider for this jail de-licing and de-staffing system, jail shower, de-licing and de-staffing system, per RSMO 50.783. Romaine Companies owns a sole patent on this system and the required products necessary for Taney County to maintain certain health standards within the county jail facility. Subsequent to this one-time purchase, Romaine Companies will continue to be the sole source provider of products for this system. Given these facts, the Taney County Purchasing Department recommends Romaine Companies as a single feasible source for this needed purchase. Allowing for all of the above information, as well as the attached information regarding the specifics on the efforts made by the sheriff checking with other counties and other areas to establish this particular vendor as a sole source, I would now like to make an announcement and ask if there's anyone present here now who would like to come forward and offer an alternative to this particular vendor, which offers equally financial and beneficial financial benefits to the county as this company would. Seeing no such person, I ask that a motion be made to declare Romaine Companies the sole source provider for this purchase with the required stipulation that if at any future point in time an alternate source for these products and services should identify itself, the commission would then immediately set aside this declaration. At such time, Taney County will take other available statutory governed steps as required, acting in the best interest of the county to legally procure these products and services. Are there any questions?
How do you, the spelling Romaine? Because there's two or three words.
R-O-M-A-I-N-E.
A-I-N-E. Motion to accept as a sole source recommendation for the jail shower system, Romaine Company.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure.
Notify the vendor. We'll get a contract to Frank.
We recess up there.
Yep.
You're going to recess upstairs?